Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press and go, just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The Impress Press-On Falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press-on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress Manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress. That's impressbeauty.com/Los Angeles. And then use our code Los Angeles to check out for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies.
Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Los Angeles. Yay! Woo! All right, happy Tuesday, guys. We have some news to share this week.
Some controversial news.
It's a doozy. It is a doozy. So, Jeffree Star, who is the creator of Jeffree Star Cosmetics. He launched a new palette, or is launching one on, I believe, May 22nd. It's called the Cremation Palette. It is $58. Oh. I know. $58. It includes 24 shades of gray and neutrals, including finishes in matte and extreme shades of sparkle. And I think I'm just going to speak for everyone when I say this, but why the hell are you putting out a cremation palette when people are dying during a global pandemic?
Yeah.
Like, one of the most topical things that we're discussing in the news right now is how many deaths we're seeing and how people are dying without family. They're unable to be, you know, laid to rest with a funeral. They are alone when they're passing away. Why are you doing this? Why are you putting this out now? I know that you didn't create this 2 weeks ago and get it ready to ship out now, but timing is important.
Yeah.
It matters. And so I think that at the very least, you could have held this and read the room.
Absolutely. I think that there are so many brands who are having to hold launches right now, and they are nowhere near as controversial as something of like a cremation palette. But just to, you know, be sensitive to everyone and what's happening around the world. And so something like this is just really poor taste.
I mean, honestly, if I'm going to get real with y'all, if y'all want me to go there, I will. This is
go there.
This is privilege. This is privilege, because if any other brand did this, they would be, like, no pun intended, dead on arrival. All right. Like, truly. I mean, maybe pun intended, but like, they would be DOA. They would not exist if they did this.
Totally.
And with Jeffrey, his fan base and his consumers are so loyal that they basically excuse any poor behavior that he has. So
loyal. And then also, I think as an industry, for whatever reason, we have given him permission to do these things. Like, we're like, what, you know, it's Jeffree Star. This is what he does. This is how, you know, what his fans love. But I just feel like behavior like this is just so unacceptable. And like, there's so many brands to shop from and so many like amazing brand founders that we can support. I just don't understand how they're.
Ollie doesn't like Oliver. It either. Ollie's not into it.
No, he's not. He is not a fan of Jeffree Star. I'm just like, yeah, I am so curious, and I think I've been curious for a long time now, like who makes up this fan base, because I really do want to know, like maybe I'm wrong and I don't know something about him, like convince me otherwise why I should be, you know, giving my hard-earned money to him.
Totally. And this is the thing, like even on a base level, like even outside of the fact that this is just in such poor taste, and as a brand owner, this is not something I would want to have in my history of remembering that I released a cremation palette during a global pandemic for $60, by the way. So this is a 24 pan eyeshadow palette that consists of what they are saying are gray shades and neutrals and blacks. A, nobody needs this many shades of gray, neutral, or black. I'm sorry.
I'm like trying to think of the last, I know I'm no goth, but I can't remember the last time I reached for a gray eyeshadow.
I mean, gray is, and I'm not saying this, and it's an opinion, a fact.
Yeah.
Gray is not a flattering shade to wear on your face. There's a reason why people wear blush. There's a reason why people try to get rid of dark circles, because the gray undertones
make you look dead.
Yes. 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 So like on a bigger scale, I'm like, are you actually like, do you want people to look dead, or are you trying to get people to go back to like the 1920s era of wearing black and white makeup to photograph themselves in black and white? Like, I don't understand what you're trying to achieve here, except for creating controversy, which follows you around. And then you say you don't try to have controversy, except it's always around you.
Right.
And you're always in the center of it.
I was trying to read, there was like 3,700 comments on his Instagram post, and all of them are seemingly positive, which
totally
blows my mind. And maybe it's just those, you know, float to the top or whatever. But I'm like, how does no one else find this problematic in any way?
Well, I'll say this, like, there is an influencer that I follow on Twitter, Mick Drew. She's a very talented, you know, young makeup artist. And she even said, if you're supporting this, please explain to people why.
Yeah, I want to know.
We want to know. And honestly, a lot of the comments were like to her were like, oh, it's 2020. We have to get offended about everything these days. And I'm like, I'm not easily offended. But as somebody in this industry that sees the privilege that Jeffrey has for A, being able to release a palette like this and be excused by his loyal customers, and then also to do it during a global pandemic. Like, I just think it's so insensitive. It's so sad that he doesn't seem to care. And even in more so, like, he's a smart business person, and I respect him for that. So why would you ever want to have this in your Rolodex of accomplishments? Yes, I released the cremation palette while, you know, millions of people across the globe had died. And it was like the topic of headline news every day. That's the thing that's really disgusting. And then, you know, like, there is a comedy element to this.
Totally.
Let's be real. I'm writing I've written a scripted beauty series, okay? And we are constantly finding humor and what the beauty industry, specifically with influencers and what they're doing. And I could not write this. Like, literally, this is gold. Like, the shade names include Pallbearer, Death Certificate, and Embalmed. Sarah, literally when I found out the palette name was Cremation, because we didn't know the shades, I was like, oh my God, I should write into our pilot that, like, There's this like lipstick that comes out called Embalmed, and it makes your lips look like dead and crusty and chapped. And like, literally, he named one of his shadows Embalmed.
I don't care how big of a Jeffree Star fan you are, and like, if you are goth or if you love death for whatever reason. I don't want to put a shade called embalmed or death certificate on my eyes.
And to your point, so Sarah, I do love a good true crime podcast.
Right.
I've always been morbidly fascinated with death. However, I acknowledge that that stems from something tragic that happened in my family when I was younger.
Yes.
So I can only imagine for people where loss is very recent or was traumatic
yep.
for them, how triggering this could be. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here, guys, but like if Benefit Cosmetics, okay, no, if Urban Decay yeah. came out with a embalmed palette, people would riot. They would riot. Yeah. They would be canceled. They would be gone. If literally any other person did this, if it was a woman of color owned brand, forget about it.
Oh,
they're gone. Yeah. They're out of here.
No.
But you guys.
But like it would never. Let's say Wendy of Urban Decay decided to come out with this, which she would never.
Wendy's never going to do which this. Let's be real.
But let's say she wanted to. There are so many people in the company who'd be like, well, you know, this is actually not a great idea.
Like, yes.
It's really poor taste. You yes, shouldn't go through with it. Maybe we should hold it.
Yes.
And I want to know who's on his team, who is, I mean, he's obviously surrounded by a bunch of yes men because
yep.
he continues to do things that, you know, obviously just blows all of our minds. But like, I just don't understand, like, was he truly surrounded by a bunch of people who all thought that this was a good idea too?
Yeah, totally. You nailed it. He has a bunch of yes men and women on his team, amping him up, psyching him up, telling him that this is a good idea. I would love for him, if you work for Jeffree Star and you want to be the mouthpiece that comes on this podcast and represents him, great. If Jeffree Star wants to come on this podcast and explain this, we welcome you.
Yeah.
I truly just want to know, like, what the thinking is behind this. And if you think it's not that deep, maybe take a second and really think about it. You live in an amazing mansion in Calabasas or Hidden Hills or wherever you are, and you can kind of hide from the rest of the world, and things that maybe are a struggle for the most common of people, including your consumers, is never going to be a struggle for you anymore, even though I know that he did struggle growing up.
Yeah.
So I wish that he's a smart businessman. This is a move that he should not have made.
Yeah.
And he should know that. So
totally.
The only excuse for this really is to create controversy. And I don't know if I necessarily would want my brand to be known for that alone.
And if you are a listener that you are a fan of Jeffree Star, a fan of Jeffree Star Cosmetics, you plan on buying this palette, Kirby and I would love to hear, you know, your side and why. So hit us up, DM us. Go in the Facebook group.
Yeah. You know what? We need a phone number.
Yes.
We need one of those phone numbers people can call in and like leave a voicemail. We should do that sometime.
We really should. I think we can through Google.
Yeah. Okay, great. We'll figure that out and get that up and going.
Before we move on, not really news, but we just want to shout out a lovely listener who left just the sweetest review for our podcast, Simone.
Simone,
you are our girl.
This woman was like, she touched my heart. Like, I did not know what to expect. So we make this podcast for everybody. Obviously, you know, when brands ask for our media kit, we definitely have a sweet spot that we can identify via Spotify and Apple. And it's, you know, people our age, early 20s to late 30s. But Simone is like, telling us that she just wasn't even interested in beauty podcasts and somehow found us.
She was listening to decorating and political podcasts and she just had enough of it. And then she stumbled upon us, which I don't know how. I want to know how she found us.
Same.
And she stayed and she truly listened to so many of our episodes. She told us what products worked for her, what products she returned back at Nordstrom because they didn't work for her. And then she left us the sweetest words of wisdom and, you know, a little pep talk at the end. And it just really, really touched both of us. And it's just like moments like that where, you know, we're like, wow, like this is incredible that we're able to reach so many different kinds of people and just reassures us that we're not just talking to each other every week.
Yo, Can we call her Aunt Simone? Like, I want to call her Aunt Simone. Aunt Simone. And then she can call in and be our 60-plus correspondent.
Yes.
She told us.
We always need one of those.
She was saying that the reason, like, you know, she was basically like, I'm definitely not your demographic. I'm 60-plus, but I love what you guys have to say, and was just so complimentary, which really touched my heart. But listen, I think we need a 60.
I would love to have Simone on as our 60 plus ambassador.
Oh my gosh. And we can like send her products to get her like take on it.
Yes.
Yes. Love that. Love
Simone,
that.
Find us.
Simone.
Hit us up.
Email us. Our email is on our Instagram. Okay. Shout out to Simone.
Yeah. Thank you, Simone.
Okay, guys. It's time for What's on Your Face?
Woo! Okay. Kirby, I'm really, really excited and interested in hearing about this new brand that you discovered.
Okay. Thank you. I'm so excited too. This is a newish baby Korean skincare brand that just launched like a little under a year ago. They only have 2 SKUs, which I am very, that gets me excited. I like it that I'm not overwhelmed by what products I should try. It's called Slurp Laboratories, which I love the name. I'm like, Slurp.
So cute.
And I was initially attracted to them, not just for the name, but the packaging of the products. They're very minimal.
Very clean.
Very clean. Clear bottles. Sans serif name. And the names sound very scientific, which definitely like targets somebody like myself. So the brand only has 2 serums. One is called Hyaluid and the other is called Niacid. Hyaluid is for the person that has really dry, parched skin. It has 8 different molecular weights of hyaluronic acid. So all about the plumping and hydrating effects of that ingredient. And it contains 3-O-ethyl ascorbic acid. And ascorbic acid, as you guys know, is vitamin C. But this is a derivative form of it that is stabilized. So it's in a package, you know, the packaging is clear. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, you know, it's not opaque, and usually you need it in a dark container. Apparently this type of ascorbic acid is stable enough to not be as fickle regarding oxidation and things like that, which I'm truly intrigued by. And guys, side note, is an ingredient I'm seeing in so many different products that are launching right now. So I feel like that's the next wave of vitamin C, but that one's $59. It's their second product. The first product they came out that they launched with is called Niacid. It is a waterless serum, and it includes obviously niacinamide, tranexamic acid, and Italian snail secretion. So this product is for people that have hyperpigmentation, acne scars, dark spots. And if you go onto their website, the before and after photos are truly remarkable. Like I see people with ice pick scars that seem to get a major transformation with their skin, especially their cheeks when using this product. And all the reviews are like, I have gone through like 3-4 bottles of this stuff. I cannot get enough of it. And I have been really impressed with the way it's making my skin look in terms of my pore size. I have melasma, so my hyperpigmentation.
I was just going to say, is this good for melasma?
It's just a little bit harder because melasma is hormonal. So while I do feel like it brightens, the tranexamic acid is really great for that.
It's not stopping it.
It's not getting rid of it. Melasma, you can never fully get rid of because it's so deep into your skin. It's really, really hard to control just with a topical product. But it's $41. So while I do feel like it's not prestige by any means, but it's not mass either. It's like that middle of the road serum. I still think it's affordable, and the amount of product you get for $41, it's more than most serums. Like most serums come in like little tiny bottles with like a dropper or whatever. And this is like a pretty fat bottle of it. So again, it's called Slurp Laboratories. If you're in the market for a new serum, I would look them up. And don't be alarmed by their lack of social presence. They're just new, and I don't think that they have like a lot of resources. They're focusing all their money into the science behind the products. So they're not following anybody on social, and they aren't posting, but they are active. If you tag them on social media, they will respond to you in DMs. So
awesome.
And their website is great too. You can only order on their website for right now.
Got it. Awesome.
All right, Sarah. What's on your face?
Okay.
This is an exciting one. This is a big one.
May 19th, 2020, mark it as the day that Sarah Tan reviews a mascara for the first time.
What?
You guys, it's tough times for eyelashes right now. For if you are a eyelash extension obsessy like me.
You're in our thoughts.
Yes. Yep. I'm with you. We'll be back soon, I'm sure. But in the meantime, it's been a nice little break for my lashes. I do feel like I was actually wondering whether I still had lashes. Obviously, I still did, because what would Courtney be putting on my eyelashes? But it's nice to see that they're still there and still as full as they can be for being so short and stubby. Mm-hmm. But it has also given me the opportunity to play with some mascaras right now, because it has literally been, like, I think the last time I wore a mascara was like in college.
That's so exciting. I can talk to you about mascara. I know.
Well, I can't, because your lashes are ridiculous.
No, but I think this is important, because I get to now know, like, okay, And I tell people this. I'm like, I have long lashes, so I'm kind of biased anyways. Like, I don't have to worry about length
at all. Does Janet have long lashes?
Janet has good lashes. They're not as long as mine, but she does have good lashes. So
when came out of the womb, were you one of those babies that had like way, way too long lashes? Like, you were just like blessed from birth?
I don't know. That's a great question. But I did ask my mom what I like to eat as a kid.
It's like really sad, because...
Like, what did I like to eat as a kid? And she was like, you liked broccoli and chicken. I was like, wow, times have changed. Times have changed.
Great. Yeah. I feel like all my girlfriends are having babies. It's like, I notice their lashes, the baby lashes first, especially if they have like long ones, because I'm so ridiculous.
Or if they're boys, the boys always have the longest lashes. Ugh, ridiculous.
Beautiful. Anyways, so... if you're looking for something to give you that same fullness and length.
Yes.
I tried Huda Beauty's new Legit Lashes mascara, which Kirby also reviewed and did a very nice and thorough IGTV on her Instagram. So you should watch it.
Oh, thank you.
Because you could actually see the difference. But for me and my baby lashes, so I've been trying a few different, you know, mascaras that I thought maybe could work with my lashes, and some have been good, but I feel like a lot of times, so my real lashes are really short, and well, they're actually not that short, but they're very straight.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of, they go down.
Okay.
Which is like, someone once told me, they're like, well, Marilyn Monroe's lashes used to do that too. And I was like, that doesn't help me. It doesn't make me feel better that Marilyn Monroe also had lashes that went down.
You're like, okay, but then what did she do?
Yes,
then,
exactly.
Like, don't tell me that and then not give me a result.
Yeah. So I feel like most mascaras that I'm using are like coating it, but they aren't really helping to curl, and like it doesn't really help to lengthen, or it'll just like go down. And I have been using the new Say eyelash curler, which I like.
Uh-huh.
But for whatever reason, my lashes are just like so straight. I need to get one of those I asked Kirby about it. I need to get one of those heated lash curlers. If you guys have any recommendations, let me know.
Totally.
But anyways, this new mascara has two sides. One side is for volume, and then the other side is for curl and length.
Yep.
So I personally like the curl and length side.
Same.
Which Kirby said she also likes. The volume is great, but I think personally for me, like, when if my lashes get too clumpy, it just looks like pubic hair.
Oh my god, I did not think you were gonna say that. Like, I didn't know what you were gonna say, but
I didn't come up with that. I sent a picture to my sisters of like me wearing mascara, and my sister goes, it looks like pubes. I was like, thanks.
Gotta love a good old sister support over here.
Just keeps you in check when you think you're truly cute.
She keeps you humble. Like,
oh, cool.
Great.
Anyways, so yeah. So
wait, was it the sister you sent the Dyson Airwrap to?
No, it was my other sister, but that sister's really cruel to me too. But it's fine. I love them. Anyways, so that's why I have been like kind of staying away from the volume side. So I like the curl and length side. I feel like it really actually does help curl my straight lashes, which I found really surprising. But I like to use the flat side. What do you like to use?
I like to use the flat side as well. I don't like to use like the curve.
The curve
doesn't. Yeah.
What is that? Are you supposed to, like, how are you supposed to use that as a mascara nude?
Yeah, you're supposed to cup your lashes with it. But I like the flat, straight side.
Me too.
Because I feel like it gives you more control and you're able to get to, like, the base of your lashes in a way. Because, like, I don't stick my entire brush and, like, want it to coat every lash at the same time. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. I really, really like this formula and the brush. I have also just been seeing so many incredible before and afters. Devin Abelman, who is an editor at Allure, posted before and after pictures, and they were so amazing. So I think, like, and I think she was using the volume side. So I just feel like Huda Beauty, she knows what she's doing when it comes to lashes.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Huda has made
faux lashes
for years. She's known for this. And, you know, I think that the brand said it took them 2 years to formulate this. They do make a claim that I'm a little sus on. It says that the ultra black formulas are clinically proven to volumize, lengthen, lift, and curl lashes. I'm kind of like, clinically?
Yeah.
Clinically?
Because they had a panel, it says on the website, of 22 women, but that must have been different. Like, that must have been the focus group. And then did they have labs?
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, are you doing lab testing for this? Or are you just surveying 22 people that work for Huda Beauty about, like, what they saw with this? Like, it's really, really hard to test cosmetics, especially when it comes to mascaras, because it costs a lot of money. So, like, I remember, you know, for, like, IT Cosmetics, like, they talk about like a certain product and how it worked for a certain amount of people, and it was proven to do this and this on their test subjects. But, like, a lot of times for brands, like, those test subjects are just their employees. So
that's wild. Is that true?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying every brand does that, but, like, a lot of times when you read stuff, like, they say it. So these are my thoughts on it. Like, well, first of all, what did you think? Is this, like, a short lash, like, straight lash? You're not, because you don't have short lashes, but you have straight lashes.
I have straight lashes. And I do think, I will say I curled my lash before.
Okay.
Which they advise you to do, but it definitely helped curl them and lengthen them.
Okay, great.
Which I've tried a few other mascaras that have, you know, claimed to do the same, and it did not work with my stubborn lashes. So that's why I really like this mascara.
Okay, great. I like it too. I think this is, like, one of those mascaras that makes you look like you have falsies on. This is definitely not, like, a natural mascara. If that's your jam, that's definitely not my jam. So I really like that it makes my eyes look more open. It looks like I have falsies on. I definitely, I at first thought I was going to like the volume side more, but I actually prefer the curl and length. And I think it has a lot,
because it's a little bit more natural looking.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And honestly, the volume side, I think it made my lashes look a little clumpy, a little clumpier than I would have preferred. Because I tested with both, like, I did volume and then curl and length on one side, and then I did curl and length and volume on the other side to see if it, like, affected how they looked. And it was harder for me to make my lashes look the way I wanted them to when I applied the volume first and then the curl and length on top. So I'm definitely leaning towards curl and length. It has those fibers in it to elongate the curl. In order to hold a curl, you need to have more wax in the formula to, like, get that lift and that lightweight feeling.
Yeah.
So I didn't even curl my lashes because I wanted to see, and it definitely lifts them for sure. I definitely curl my eyelashes, but I didn't for these purposes, and it does what it says it's going to do, which is great. So I guess, like, for me, this is, like, something that I would wear in lieu of faux lashes.
Yes.
But what I will say is this. I applied it to my top and bottom lashes, and because of the amount of wax in it, I found that my bottom lashes would often get stuck to my top lashes, like when I would blink my eyes.
Yeah.
So what I would say as a tip here is pick, like, upper or lower.
Yeah.
And then use a different mascara on the other, like, the other lid.
That's smart.
Just to avoid.
I also found that because of the wax, it took a little bit more work to remove at the end of the night. So yeah, if you get, I know people are really particular about the way that their mascara comes off, like they want it to come off super easily. And so this took me a few extra steps.
Totally.
I used the eye, my eye makeup remover, I washed my face, and then there was still some residue. So then I had to go in again. But I mean, it wasn't terrible. So
no, it's a heavy duty mascara for sure. And I would say, like, I love having a mascara wardrobe. I use a variety of different mascaras throughout the week. Sometimes I combine two mascaras in the same day. So
yeah,
if you are looking for something that you're like, I need lift, I need volume, I want to see if it lengthens, I think that this is definitely like a worthy,
yeah,
a worthy cause to
totally
to get into.
It is $27. Is that
yeah
going rate for mascara?
Yeah, I feel like that, like for prestige, like it's because like Benefit is like always 24.
Yeah.
Benefit's always at 24. So Huda is at 27. And it comes out May 20th. So tomorrow.
Amazing. What do you use for your everyday?
Girl.
Marc Jacobs.
Oh, I love Marc Jacobs. Oh my God. But I haven't been using it lately. I've been using MAC Giga Black or Giga Lash. I can't remember the exact
name. Is that the one that in the blue tube?
Yes.
They just sent it to us?
Yes. With the Alexa Demi package.
Yes. I actually really like that one too.
I'm obsessed with this mascara, Sarah. Like, literally, the wand is so skinny and tiny. At yes, first, I was...
That's what I need.
Well, at first, I was like, this isn't going to do crap. And then it's like, I can get to the base of my lashes so well, wiggle it all around. There's no transfer. This mascara never flakes. It separates my lashes. Like,
yep.
When we were talking to Sheena, I was saying that I love a good, like, lightweight-looking, flirty, fluffy lash. I don't like it to look too precise.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Totally.
I just want them to look very, very, I do not want them to look natural. I don't want my lashes to look like my natural lashes. I want them to look like I have on mascara or fake lashes. But like this mascara is like new holy grail status for me. It's like.
Totally.
Great.
Obviously I'm new to mascara. And so when they sent it to me, I was like, oh, is this new? But apparently it's not. And like, it's beloved by so many people.
Same.
It's a bestseller, but I had never, obviously never used it, but I'm surprised you had never used it.
Same.
And I love, yeah, I just love how skinny the brush yeah. is. Like you said,
love it
just helps make your lashes look more natural. Like, you know, you don't have, it's not going to like make it look clumpy. And yeah, I was really, really surprised. So it doesn't necessarily curl my lashes as well
no.
as maybe this, but like I don't obviously need to have like a huge curl every single day.
I hate to ask this, but do you use, like, have you used a water resistant or waterproof?
No, I'm too scared.
Because that I know, but like that'll help hold, especially if you have straight lashes. That's gonna help hold
okay.
a curl.
I haven't gone there yet,
so maybe go with water resistant first.
Okay,
because it'll at least like be less harsh on
yeah.
your lashes,
okay.
and then you can graduate to
okay.
waterproof if you All need right. to.
I've been also really liking and I talk about them like every episode, but I really like the Ilia mascara too.
Ooh, I haven't tried it.
Yeah, also like a nice thin brush. I don't know, maybe I'm too intimidated by the fun shapes of some mascara wands, but they just don't work for me. But anyways, that was a long what's in your face. But yes, check out the new Legit Lashes if you're looking for a fun mascara for your wardrobe.
Woohoo!
Okay, so we're going to dive into our guest for this week. I have my arms out because I feel like I'm presenting her, but she's not even here.
No.
And again, I'm alone in my home. So. In our Facebook group, a lot of you have been asking about, you know, the state of the beauty industry, especially in regards to retail, which I think all of us have been wondering, you know, what's going on with Sephora and Ulta and, you know, how are they dealing with this crisis right now? And so we wanted to get an expert on to help, you know, shed some light and talk to us about what's going on. And so who better than Cindy Isgrig, who is the president of Dermstore, one of Kirby and my favorite e-retailers for skincare products. For those of you who are not familiar with Dermstore, you are definitely missing out.
Yep.
I actually feel like I learned about them super late too, but they are so incredible. They carry pretty much every one of our favorite skincare brands. They also have, you know, amazing hair products. They exclusively carry Harry Josh, correct? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, Cindy is going to talk about where she thinks the future of the industry is going in the next year. So listen up.
Here's Cindy. Woo! All right, guys. Cindy, how are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're so excited that you took a little bit of time from your busy schedule to hang out with us, talk to us about the beauty industry. This episode's actually very relevant to our listeners because we asked them what they wanted to hear on the podcast, what they wanted to know more about. And we were surprised because we see ourselves more as like a edutainment podcast, not necessarily like business focused. And a lot of people wanted to know, hey, like, how do retailers like pick the products that they choose? And and like, how do you even run a beauty retailer? So this is perfect timing. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Let's just kick things off. Sarah and I are both huge fans of Dermstore.
Thank you.
Can you explain to people that may not be familiar with the company how Dermstore originated?
Absolutely. So it's kind of funny. So we're a 20-year-old company. And, you know, for younger folks on the call may not realize that most internet companies 20 to 25 years ago started out of someone's garage. And same is true for Dermstore. So Dermstore, as shady as that sounds, which is not the case at all, was a dermatologist up in the Bay Area who wanted to be able to provide professional grade products to customers that are not just his patients, but to be able to have a widespread ability for people to have access and knowledge around professional skincare products. So started the company 20 years ago. It obviously really took off from there as the internet e-commerce boom did, but really was always grounded in this credibility of, you know, it's founded by a dermatologist, the whole education based, and the fact that it's an authorized retailer of these brands as opposed to any kind of marketplace that you might just be able to find, you know, any of these very elite, very sophisticated, good, efficacious brands that you want to make sure are not counterfeit and all of that. So,
yeah.
So, the background goes all the way back to 1999, and we've been around and obviously have gone through a lot of different changes since then. We were acquired by Target Corporation in 2013, which I think just added to our credibility, but we are pure play e-commerce and have stuck where we know best, and this is our lane, and we love what we do.
Sarah, did you know about the Target acquisition?
Yes.
I didn't until we were doing research for this.
Well, I was introduced to Dermstore through Helen Koo, who
yes, love Helen.
Previously worked at Dermstore. Yes. And when she told me that, I was like, my mind was blown. I had no idea, because is that purposeful that, you know, you sort of, or maybe we just didn't know, like it was not pop, like super public knowledge that you guys were acquired by Target in 2013. But can you maybe tell us a little bit more about how that works and what the relationship is like? And is there a crossover in the products that you carry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are distinct and separate from Target. We are a wholly owned subsidiary that run standalone as our own company. We do not use the Target supply chain. We do not use anything of Target's. What we do have is we have the credibility and the strength of Target's balance sheet. So we are, you know, even in trying times, as you know, the world goes through different economic things, you know, we are part of a very stable company who cares about the community, who cares about its guests, and those values and those behaviors transcend to us. But other than that, we do not have a crossover. It's important that, you know, a lot of the brands that we carry are very elite, and, you know, Target is an elite discounter, but still a discounter. And so, you know, Target acquired us really, you know, back in 2013, to extend its aisle and to understand more about the prestige beauty area without actually getting involved in it as much, just to be able to keep that solid line.
Got it. So you obviously, you kind of just spoke to this, how Dermstore is more elite. The brands that you carry, they have an air about them. They're believable brand. Like, I trust the brands that are on Dermstore. And I know that there's some exclusivity as well. Like, I remember when the Harry Josh Pro came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted the mint hair dryer.
Yes.
Yes.
And I still have mine and I love it.
Same.
But
it's an incredible device.
It's amazing.
It's an incredible device. And you know, he obviously has like branched out into more products, but you could only get it at Derm Store. I think
still true.
In addition to, that's still true. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a couple of exclusive agreements that we've done on the side, but for the most part, we are the sole licensor. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like amazing discounts that always come from time to time.
Anytime anyone asks like where they should be buying like a SkinCeuticals product or something, I'm always like, definitely check Derm Store first. And then they all discover like the fact that you guys carry, what brand do you not carry, you know, in the prestige beauty world? It's true.
We have a ton of brands and, you know, but we're really picky though about the brands
right.
that we carry. And, you know, you have to meet certain guidelines to be able to be a brand on Derm Store, because one of the things that we aspire to be, that we are now, and that we want to be able to communicate better about ourselves, is that we're a great curator. Our merchandising team really is looking for what are the most efficacious products out there, have clinical trials, what are the backgrounds with a special ingredient story or something that really makes it stand out to be on Derm Store. And we are constantly evaluating our portfolio to make sure that the brands, you know, that we carry continue, that it's all about the company that you keep, right, from a brand perspective. And while we like to give nice sales and that to our customers, and we do a couple of those a year, we really just try to build on the loyalty of our customers with, we have a great loyalty program that gives you percentage back. And, you know, we're constantly trying to surprise and delight. So
okay. On that, like you hit the nail on the head in terms of like what our next question was, like, how do you vet the brands that you bring in? Are there like three criteria that you can tell our listeners, like, okay, when you come to Derm Store, the brands that you see have this, this, and this, or they don't have this, this, and this, or their brand was created by, like, is there anything that you can offer them so that they know when they come to Derm Store, okay, this is what I'm getting?
Absolutely. And so first I would say that our bread and butter, what we mainly are known for, is skincare. But realizing that skincare is more than your face, right? So obviously, you've got skincare, you've got professional skincare, prestige skincare. So we like to call our assortment prestige, because it really is, it's, you know, the really efficacious of the prestige skincare, like a Sunday Riley or special ingredients. But so we've got professional skincare, we've got prestige skincare, but we also really have a very big share of the hair care market. And if you think about hair care, it really is all about starting with a healthy scalp. And, you know, healthy scalp breeds healthy hair and the luxurious hair that you want. Really just kind of that same skin story that, you know, you're starting from the inside of your skin to be able to get that glow. It's not just putting a product that makes your face glow, but it really needs to be down to the root, if you will, pardon the pun. and then cosmetics, really, our story there is about a complexion based, and really where there's multi ingredients and you're focused on the complexion and maybe have an SPF in it or something that is really there to highlight your complexion. And not, we don't play in color, so you're not going to find a lot of eyeshadows or, you know, things like that with us. And then wellness, so beauty from the inside out with, you know, collagen supplements or anything like that. So we have a broad array of beauty, and it really is based in, you know, skincare. It really all comes back to healthy skin. But the criteria that need to be met really to be a brand on ours, and on Derm Store, we do have weightings for all of these, and you don't have to have all of these criteria. So the criteria that we're looking for is some kind of a professional affiliation, maybe founded by a doctor or some kind of a professional in the industry, like a Harry Josh who founded his hair tools. Some kind of a health focus, some kind of an innovative ingredient or a formulation story, proven efficacious with clinicals, a problem-solving ingredients, high quality, luxurious. So we weight all of those, and we really actually go through an equation to say that you have to hit a minimum score to be able to be carried on Derm Store.
Oh.
And so we actually are, you know, you don't have to have all of those, but you have to have enough to be able to hit the minimum weighting to be able to be carried on Derm Store. And we look at our portfolio constantly to make sure all of those brands are hitting that.
Awesome. So, Cindy, obviously we are in a really interesting time right now for everyone, and people are still shopping, and they obviously have to shop online. And so thankfully they have the ability to shop on Derm Store. Can you tell us how maybe this has affected the business? Are you guys seeing maybe more purchases because everyone is at home?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that, our business is, almost double what it has been in the past. And I think what you have is people who typically are going to dermatologists or to plastic surgeons or to estheticians to be able to get treatments that they're then following up with skincare are really unable to get those done. So they're trying to actually, keep those treatments that they've gotten maybe in the past fresh. So, what that means is that they're really going to find the replenishment for what they've been doing in the office to be able to bring it at home. And I think also products, I think a lot of our customers have used skincare to complement services. And what's happened is in this environment, it really is that we need to supplement those services. We're not able to get them. And so that means things like devices that are, like a new face that is actually going to do some electrical stimulation to help, with the sagging skin and will help, your product even more to be efficacious, trying to really double up on those things to do at home. I also would say that it's need-based, but it's also, skincare is really part of a self-care and wellness regimen that I think, we all want to just take care of ourselves in such a strange time like this. And, to treat yourself with a mask or to do something really luxurious for your skin or a body scrub or anything that just feels like you're taking care of yourself, I think really resonates with all of us right now. It's a big moment for humanity. And, I do think the self-care really means a lot to all of us.
Absolutely.
I'm curious if you know this, off the top of your head, is there a product that's doing really well on the site
or a category of products?
Well, hair color is the new toilet paper is what our head merchant loves to say. And it's so true because we are finding that women, we want to touch up our roots. We want to be able to maintain again what we did at the hair salon. And if we can't go get it done, then we're touching it up at home. And we are working diligently to keep all of the hair color on our shelves. And great brands like DP Hue, they're really just selling out. And I will say, my 22-year-old daughter touched up my roots with some DP Hue and also cut my hair with kitchen scissors. And I will say she did a great job.
Wow, yeah, your hair looks amazing.
She might have a future. She needs to call Justin Anderson.
Yeah, she should become an ambassador.
Oh, it's so funny. I think we've all had to do what we have to do. And there's always a fun story with it somewhere too. But so hair care, hair color really is a big deal. People are really taking care of their scalps too. And we're finding that people are doing things to really do scalp treatments to take advantage of that time. Masks, any kind of treatment. And like I said, those devices like New Face are really just, people are very interested in trying to see what they can do at home.
Isn't New Face the best? I freaking love New Face. New Face is a godsend. And Tara Peterson, who I am obsessed with, I was doing a live with her last week. And I told her, in my mid-20s, I didn't really see the point of using a microcurrent device because I didn't see that great of a result because, of course, gravity hadn't taken its toll yet. I was 20, 25, whatever. And then once I got in my 30s and I started using it, I'm like, oh, shit, this is amazing. This this actually works. So I'm a big fan of New Face. I'm a New Face stan.
Yeah, it's one of the few gadgets that I truly can recommend. And it's FDA approved,
Totally.
It absolutely is.
We can really put our seal of approval on it.
Yeah. So I use mine all the time. I do think, that, but... So I love what you said about New Face, that you were just saying wow, it just really works. And I think that is the key to Derm Store and the products that we have. And you know, I joined a derm store, you know, purely business background, love beauty, but really was not as into beauty as I am now. And I am telling you, I am like, I am a SkinCeuticals triple lipid fanatic. And I started using that and it works. Like my skin now, people will say, my God, what are you doing? And I of course say, well, I'm doing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yes, I'm doing it all.
And that's why Sarah and I, like, we made this podcast because we felt like there was a lot of misinformation in the world of beauty and skincare. And we really wanted people to know, like, when you're doing things properly, you will see a result. Or if you're using the right products, you will see a result. There is, you know, some snake oil out there. I don't think everybody makes something just to make a buck. I think people come into this industry and they actually want to help people with their skin, hair, nails, whatever it is. But there are those select few brands that just try to capitalize on that. And that's why we're here, to try to help people navigate through that. So, you know, that's why Derbstore is one of our trusted retailers that we like to shop at as well.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Of course. How do you feel about the state of the retail beauty industry? And how will that change in the next 6 months, in your opinion?
Well,
given we're in a global pandemic.
Small detail.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm sure I can look into the future here. But, you know, here's what I have to say is that I think, you know, there's just so much that has changed and so much that won't go back to normal, what we feel as normal. And I think this shift to e-commerce, I don't think that's going away. I think, you know, as people have really immersed, and I think, you know, you had some of the customers never have shopped beauty online, that they had to, I think will continue to. The way that we shop beauty currently in stores with testers, that's going to be taboo now. You're not going to want to touch anything that anyone else's hands have touched. You know, I mean, it's going to change beauty altogether, I believe, in the way that we shop. And I think it's going to be a very slow road back to the environment that we're used to, with going and getting services, and going and trying products and, you know, having that. I think we're going to do a lot more research online.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Totally.
As a consumer, obviously, you were just explaining it's going to be such a different landscape and, you know, we'll be shopping online more. But what do you think we can expect from brands in terms of maybe new products or campaigns and things like that? Do you think it'll be like a slower rollout because, you know, brands obviously their budgets were cut or things are taking a long time now because their labs are in Italy or, you know, whatever the circumstances? What do you think we can expect?
I think absolutely we probably will see some delays on some product launches that we, you know, that we would have expected. But I also think you're going to see a big shift because of the distribution too. I think you're going to see brands that are becoming a lot more visible in an e-commerce type of environment and trying to do more tutorials. And I think you're going to see brands that are really going to try to find authorized retailers that they can make sure that they're staying within their prestige type of environment and that it's a safe place to distribute, but also that there's going to have to be a lot more information and education that the brands have to give, because that's not going to be, you can't get that on a one-on-one environment so much anymore. So I think the way that brands educate consumers is going to have to change a lot.
Exactly. As an expert, you know, as a retailer, what is your opinion or what are your thoughts on how brands should prepare for the next year? Obviously, if they aren't active through e-commerce, like, get on that.
Yeah.
But is there anything else that you think brands should be actively doing right now to set themselves up for success?
I think, you know, if a brand has a good, healthy self-care story, if a brand has a good, efficacious story, they need to tout that. They need to absolutely get out there and tell that story, because we are going to stay in that environment of self-care and wanting to do the right thing for our largest organ right now in this environment where wellness really seems to matter. I also think that finding a trusted e-commerce retailer that is an authorized retailer, I think is going to be key. I think it's going to be also very key to be cautious about the distribution, where you're going to go as a brand. You know, I do like to warn about some of the big marketplaces. I think that can be a scary place for brands because there are a lot of counterfeits. There can be expired products. I mean, that is one thing that we are really good about is that we have climate controlled warehouses, which it's like, well, that sounds great. But if you have a CE Frulic or a TNS serum by Skimetica that is costing you over $150, you don't want it to be in a warehouse that's sitting at 90 degrees for 6 months. Like you really need to care about those things. And so be careful of who you're, as a consumer, be careful of who you're buying from. As a brand, be careful of where you're distributing. Make sure that you're keeping your brand credibility and brand promise to your consumers. But really that wellness story, I think, is a big one. The efficacious wellness story. Just keep tapping into that as a brand.
Okay, so this is kind of a random question, and you touched on this a little bit at the beginning of this conversation. I was just curious if you guys at Dermstore have ever considered doing a collaboration with Target. You know, they have the fashion collaborations and things of that nature. Have you guys ever thought, maybe we should have an end cap with like 5 or 6 of our, you know, best-selling brands available for people to take a look at?
Well, we have done things at holiday where we'll do a best of Dermstore kit that we've put together that sells at Target. And we can't keep those on the shelves when we do those. And we kind of do this curation of, you know, of what, you know, what is the best of Dermstore. So that I think it's important that the brands don't want to ever be on an end cap at Target. So they want to be contained within a Dermstore packaging.
So
yes, we definitely have done that with Target. But also, you know, we've looked at doing even some pop-up stores and shops that actually have nothing to do with Target. Our consumer is very educated, very sophisticated, really likes to do her research. She is just one of the smartest cookies out there. And she likes to be where some of the action is too. So, you know, doing pop-up things around New York Fashion Week, things like that are great places for us when and if we get back to that environment again.
True. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
So we're going to ask you to do a little bit more forecasting.
Okay.
You probably already know a lot about what products brands are releasing next year, although maybe that has, you know, changed because of the situation that we're in. But in general, what would you say is like the type of product or the beauty trend that we'll see more of the rest of 2020 if we can return to it as normal as we can?
You know, I think the beauty trend that we're going to really see is a lot more about healthy scalp. I think that is going to continue to be a trend that continues. I think that's something that the industry has really gone to. There's a lot more products that are coming out. A lot of brands that have been skincare-based brands are really going into the scalp treatment type of area. So I do expect to see a lot more focus on skin when it comes to the scalp. I think also natural and clean. I think we're going to continue to see a big emergence there. So I think those are the two that I would really focus on.
So Kirby and I have talked about this on a previous episode, how we're seeing so many scalp products pop up on the market. Like everyone is coming up with a scalp scrub. Is there like, how does that happen? We're just like wondering, like, how does all of a sudden, you know, all of our favorite brands come together and come out with a scalp product? Is there some sort of trend forecasting person that they all tap into, or what is it like? Is it, have we just sprayed too much dry shampoo into our scalps that they haven't recovered? Like, how does that work?
I think that's so funny. You know, it's interesting. Like you do see these trends that just come in beauty, right? I mean, it was all about makeup for such a long time, and skincare is having its moment. People are really beginning to understand that, you know, it really is skin deep. And I just can't help myself when I have to say that. But, and so skincare really, really over the last year and a half, I'd say, has had this moment where everyone cares about healthy skin. And it just naturally is going to this, like the natural place that it goes to after your face is scalp treatments, body treatments. I think it's just a continuation of this healthy skin story that just became a natural immersion that happened. Because when you see that that works so well on your face, then gosh, you want to have that perfection in your hair, you know, on your body and those types of things. So I think it's just a natural progression that comes from wanting to have, you know, the healthy skin.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. Cindy, that was great. Thank you so, so much. We had a great time, you know, getting to know you and Dermstore a little bit better. I've personally been loving what Dermstore is doing on Twitter.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know Sarah's not big on Twitter.
I'm missing out.
But like, I'm a Twitter, I love Twitter. Twitter is my number one. And so like, I'll go and like be following different influencers, makeup artists, whatever, and they'll ask for recommendations. And I swear the first response is always Dermstore. And they're handing out advice and they're offering people like legitimately good skin advice. So
way to go.
Kudos to the social team. I'm really into it.
That is awesome. I will say the big thing that is important to us, and gosh, if we haven't learned it right now in this environment, in this pandemic, we never will, but how important community is, right? And that's just overall. But we at Dermstore really are trying to foster this, you know, healthy skin community. And we are working closely with professionals, with experts, with our customers, with the brands. And really where all of those intersect is where we are. And so we are so much more than a retailer. We really want to foster that community environment. We want to be that place that you come to when you want to learn about things, and which is why we are a great partner now too. So I'm so glad, you know, to be part of this podcast where that's exactly what you're doing. You've created this community. Aww. And it's the same type of thing. So I love it. It's kind of our cult.
Thanks for letting us be members.
We love yeah, being part of your cult as well. So
we really appreciate your time. Guys, go shop at Dermstore. I love just getting on Dermstore and seeing like, oh, yeah, okay, this is like bestseller. I'm going to check this out. So much great information there as well. Obviously, you can follow them on social, Dermstore. Cindy, anything else that we should know?
No, just that we are loving having more people join our community right now. And that so glad everyone's doing self-care. And, you know, and coloring their hair, because goodness knows we all have to be on these Zoom calls. We have to do something. So,
amen to that.
You know, I would just say, I hope that all of these trends towards things getting better continue, and, what a crazy world we're in, and, nice to be part of this humanity that I think we're all kind of getting back to our roots. I can't stop with the puns. I can't.
You're
stop.
So good at them. Oh my God. I love it. I love it.
I love a good pun. I'm all about a pun. So, Cindy, thank you again. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you liked that, please go to Apple and rate us 5 stars. Leave a review. We love reading your reviews. They make our day. And make sure to follow us on social at Gloss Angeles Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Search Gloss Angeles and join our Facebook group. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.